Welcome back, Period to Pause listeners. It's Amanda Layden here. I know it's been a little while since you've heard my voice. I've been, well, humaning and lifing and trying to figure out where we're going to go here with this community and what we should really talk about. Today's episode is a solo episode where I'm really going to explore some of my thoughts on motherhood. We're coming up to Mother's Day here in the United States. I know it already happened in some countries around the world in March, and it's also coinciding with my birthday. My birthday is not on Mother's Day this year, but I was born on Mother's Day. And so I think about the concept of motherhood quite frequently and what it means to me and what it means to other people and what societal expectations are and how we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. And so today I'm just going to share a little bit of my story. I hope it resonates with some of you. I also want to give a trigger warning for anybody listening. I'm going to be sharing some sensitive material today, sensitive stories about my life, which involve abuse and neglect. And if there's anything at any point in time that, you know, is hard for you to hear, I urge you just to please skip this episode and turn it off. So here we go. We're going to jump on in. I'm actually going to start with carrot cake. Now, some of you out there may love carrot cake. I understand that sometimes it has like a gooey, creamy cheese filled, whatever the frosting is, cream cheese frosting. Sometimes it has walnuts. It can be very dense and delicious. Carrots are one of my least favorite things to eat. I literally have hated them since I guess I was a baby. My biological mom tells the story that I used to spit, you know, the puree carrot stuff out that you would feed babies. So I hate all things to do with carrots. Even when I'm making chicken noodle soup, which I love to make, especially when I'm feeling sick, I pick the carrots out. Anybody who has spent any amount of time with me knows that I loathe that vegetable. However, I'm going to go back to carrot cake. So you now know, you understand my disgust and disdain for carrots. Carrot cake became a theme in my life when I was growing up around my birthdays. And that's because I grew up with my dad and my stepmom. And I wouldn't even call her a stepmom because she wanted nothing to do with me and my sister. She loathed the fact that she came into my father's life and he had these two young girls. She had two children of her own, one whom is the same age as me, the other who's a boy who is 2 years younger than I am. And she just hated everything about us. She hated the fact that my father had a life before her, even though it was very evident because she was coming into a situation where she was kind of being expected to look after his two children because she didn't work. And so he kind of, well, more than kind of, I mean, he basically was like, where can I have an insta mom for these two children? Because I can't do this myself. So let's go back to carrot cake. Every year that I could remember for my birthday is May 11th. Again, I was born on Mother's Day, and I'm going to share that story in a little bit because this dives into the concept of what I think about this construct of being a mom and how some of my opinions were formed because of these two women, these two females that were in my life, my biological mom in and out, and my stepmom. More of a consistent presence because I lived with her from the age of, I think she moved in when I was 3 and a half until the age of basically, I moved in with my mom, I think when I was 15. So that's a good 12 years, the formative years of my life where I had this presence, this female presence in my life. So back to carrot cake. Every year for my birthday that I could remember, she bought me carrot cake because she knew I hated it. And so she knew that if we were sitting around the table and they were singing me happy birthday and they were celebrating me and my father was there, that if he saw me say, I don't like this, I don't want to eat this, he would flip his lid, freak out, scream, yell, call me ungrateful. Sometimes it would get abusive. It certainly would get emotionally abusive. And she would deliberately do this because she knew the thing I hated the most was carrot cake. So that impression, you know, sometimes we have these impressions in our lives of things that stick with us throughout. And carrot cake is one of them. Anytime I see a carrot cake on a menu to this day, I'm just like, I almost revile. Like, I almost want to vomit because it brings back so many horrible memories around my birthday and around an adult in my life and somebody who was supposed to be a mother figure to me, deliberately being emotionally abusive and deliberately putting me in a situation that made me unsafe. And so even to this day, I have a really hard time with my birthday. I have a hard time around Mother's Day. I mean, even before I couldn't become a mom, I knew I couldn't become a mom in the biological sense. Mother's Day is a tough one for me. I think it's tough for a lot of us out there. And it's tough because we think about what we had, what we couldn't have, what our relationships with our female figures, the people who are supposed to be moms or supposed to have that motherly sense in our lives gave us or didn't give us, and who we are and societal constructs and how we're supposed to behave around this idea of being a mom. So my stepmom, if anybody's out there who has a better word for this, like, she's not a bonus mom because she was a shitty, horrible, awful human being. I shouldn't even say was. I think she's still alive. The things she did to actually, again, put me in situations to be unsafe around my father, to have him fly into a rage or to throw me up against a wall or to really make my house a place of hell, the place where I grew up. The stuff she did is like what you see or read about when you see like Mommy Dearest or something. I don't know who she is or was, but and why she would think that it was okay to abuse two young girls like that who had just lost their mom, not lost their mom in the sense my mom didn't die. My mom chose to leave the family, but two young girls who were really truly missing their mother. You know, I think my dad started dating her when I was 3 and she moved in, I think, when I was about 3 and a half. So for those of you who have children out there of that age or who were that age, just imagine their needs and their wants and their desires. And then you're being stuck at home with a woman who abhors you and will do anything to put you in harm's way with your father to get into his good graces. That was really my first impression of what being a mom was. It wasn't to protect the child and the household. It wasn't to love them unconditionally. It wasn't to create a support system so that they could grow up to be the best versions of themselves. It literally every day was to make me and my sister feel unsafe, unloved, unwanted, and scared. So as I'm unpacking this concept of motherhood, as we lead into Mother's Day here in the United States on May 14th, I'm trying to understand my impressions of it and how I kind of got to where I am today and what it means for me to be breaking an intergenerational cycle of trauma. So those of you who've listened to the podcast before know that I have a disease called adenomyosis, a disease which ravaged my uterus and my body and started to grow into other organs. And it's a disease which ensured that I cannot have children biologically. So I am unable to do that. And it's not lost on me that I've stopped a cycle of intergenerational trauma from my mom, from her grandma, from that side of the family, and also non-biologically from what I witnessed from my stepmom, mother, to her family and the cycle of abuse there. It is not lost on me that this is my path. And even when I think about the family tree and the branches being broken, this is my journey. And so I want to get back to, you know, more of how I got here and what I'm trying to dismantle and unpack today, because I wonder if some of you out there are also struggling with some of the same questions around your place in society. Now, whether you're a biological mother, you've chosen to adopt, you're mothering fur babies, whatever it might be, I'm curious to know, you know, your stance on motherhood. And if you're also thinking about what is this space and place and construct that I've been put into and what is expected of me? From a very young age, I can remember that whether it was nature or nurture, we were told as young girls, what you want to be is you want to grow up, you want to get married, you want to have children. And you think about that through the things that we were given. We had Barbie dolls. I remember my stepsister, Courtney, and I entering into a parade with our strollers and matching outfits with our dollies. It was a parade at the library. And I remember at the time, our younger brother screaming and crying because he's like, well, why can't boys enter it? And so he did enter the parade as well. But just like, how ridiculous is that, that that's what gets put into place at the local library for young girls to basically be conditioned over and over again, that the thing you should want, the thing that you should want all the time that should be in your arms is a baby, and you should want this traditional family unit. It's just unpacking all of this and how we get to this, what I would call now a patriarchal, misogynistic view of motherhood today. It's so much for all of us to think about. And part of what I'm going through right now, as we come up to my birthday and to Mother's Day, is how do I redefine this for myself? I wish people would stop asking me some of the fucking stupid questions they ask around motherhood, which I'll get to in a little bit. And we're going to do an episode on that too. But it's so insensitive and so ridiculous. So I digress for a bit. I want to go back to motherhood and Mother's Day. Now, I don't know where the construct of Mother's Day came from. I feel like I should, because I feel like this could also inform some of my views on, is this a Hallmark holiday, or is this a holiday where we're really revering women in society for the visible and invisible work they do around motherhood? I understand that in doing a little bit of research that we've been practicing this or honoring women around Mother's Day since the 1900s, and thinking about how we can honor the sacrifices of mothers who have made sacrifices for their children, I now think it's become really overblown and we've lost sight of things, as we have in society oftentimes. But anyway, back to my view or my story on Mother's Day, motherhood. I mentioned I was born on Mother's Day. And so for my father, my biological father, I don't have any other, and my biological mother, I was their second child. So I was born almost 4 years to the day to my sister. Well, I was born 3 days before her, which was something that was a bone of contention growing up, because she could never understand why my birthday was first and she was older. And that's another story in and of itself. But so I was the first baby born on Mother's Day in Des Moines, Iowa, where I'm from. And I was on TV for it, because I guess in Des Moines, you have slow news cycles. And that was before we got into this day and age of ridiculous false news narrative media baiting people to fight against one another. So I guess this was a wholesome story of the first child in Des Moines, Iowa, being born on Mother's Day, or as they say in the UK, Mothering Sunday. So that began an interesting, I think, journey between me and my mom, considering my mom really didn't ever want to be a mom. She and my father were born and raised in an era that that is what you did. You went to college, you met your sweetheart, you got married, and you had children. And that was what society expected of you. So my dad and my mom had my sister and I, and I don't know much about their relationship. I have heard anecdotes and tales and stories throughout the years. What I know is that they're both pretty fucked up people. They both come from families where I think things weren't really talked about. My dad is the oldest of nine children, two of whom died pretty soon after they were born. Grew up in Chicago in like a house with one bathroom. My grandma was pretty strict German Catholic. My grandpa was a Russian Jew. which they lied about until I was 19 years old. And that's probably another story to explore around families and what effect that has on all of us. And so, you know, my dad came from this era of having to work for everything, very, very, very strict parenting, wasn't emotionally equipped in the slightest, and I think probably undiagnosed bipolar. And my mom was just always somewhat of a recluse. She really turns inward when anything happens in her life. She has very few friends. She's just kind of an odd duck. And what I know about their marriage is that, well, it wasn't working. And so she left. She had an affair when I was two, and she chose to leave. And she chose to leave for what I understand her boyfriend, whom I did meet over the years. And so my relationship with my mom really started out rocky because she wasn't there for the early part of my childhood or there at all. She's a very, very selfish human being. I'd say probably one of the most selfish people I've ever met on the planet, and, you know, has always kind of positioned herself as a martyr and woe is me, things always happen to me. And so she ended up leaving and trying to be with her boyfriend and left us in a household with an abusive father. And I'd like to say that they were trying to do the best they could, but I think about it often. And when I was pregnant, one of my biggest fears was that I would become my mom, was that I would have a child. And when this child was born, I would hate them. Or wish that they didn't exist, or want to run away because I couldn't handle the day-to-day of being there and holding space for a child and giving them what they need and letting go of myself to allow for another human being to grow. It was always a major fear of mine and something that I was working through in therapy to make sure that I could love this child unconditionally, regardless of whomever they were. So anyway, you know, my concept of motherhood was, and I think until recently was, I had one person in my life who was deliberately abusive and cruel. And the carrot cake, I share that story because the imagery is so real. Anytime you're sitting around at a birthday party and you see what cake is being served, you sometimes remember the cake, or maybe for your birthday, you got ice cream cake or sheet cake, whatever it was. The carrot cake sticks all the time because it was one element of the cruelty that I endured and where I started to believe that that's how moms behave. The other element of things that she used to do, while when Christmas or birthdays or whatever would roll around, she would take her children to the nice department stores or buy them gifts from the nice department stores. And she would buy my sister and I gifts from Target. Now, at the time, Target wasn't as cool as it is now. And I really do love Target. So I'm not knocking Target at all. Target, if you're listening, would love to have you sponsor the podcast. Just kidding. So anyway, she would rewrap gifts that we had already had. That was one of her fun games to play too, because she knew that, what are we going to do? Tell on her that we had that the year before, or that those were clothes she was taking back for her other children and she was wrapping them for us because they didn't fit. I mean, that was a game of cruelty. She would have her girlfriends over. And, you know, when you were, well, not those of you who are Zoomers or Gen Z, but in my era, we would pass notes in school. So we would pass notes in grade school and high school. And it was like a way to have conversations with boys and your friends. And she would bring her friends over to the house and they would find my notes and sit there at the kitchen table and read them and laugh and make fun of me and wait until I got home from school, so that I could see that that's what she was doing. So these are some of, and I have so many stories about the things that she used to do. And I don't even know if I want to get into all of them, except that I'm dismantling and unraveling, like, what does it actually mean to be a woman, to stand for other women? And also, what does it mean to be a mother? So that is one element of understanding that there was one woman in my life who the concept or the example of motherhood was cruelty, time and time and time again. And then the other was a mom who isn't there. And I guess in both senses of the word, or, you know, an understanding, you could say neither of them were actually there for me. My mom physically walked out, did not live in my household, did not want me and my sister, and made that very clear throughout her life that she was making other choices. She was choosing boyfriends above us. She was choosing herself a lot above us. She knew what was going on in our household, and yet she still chose to do nothing. Time and time again. And, you know, I should say it's probably obvious from this podcast, but I cut ties with my dad and my stepmom years and years ago because of the cycle of abuse. And it just was unhealthy to have them in my life. My stepmom literally could be diagnosed with some psychotic disorder based on some of the things that she has done to me, to my siblings, to other people. And then my mom, she from time to time would come in and out of my life, depending upon when it suited her. And there was a point in time when I think I was about 23 or 24. I was living in Hoboken, New Jersey, and she was trying to have a conversation with me about adulting and finances and who knows what. And I don't even know why she felt like she was in the position to do that. But she said to me at that time, we were having this kind of coming to Jesus conversation. I'm sure any of you who have relationships with family members where maybe it's a little bit rocky, you probably understand what one of these conversations looks like. We were having one of those. And I guess to go back to our start of being the first baby born on Mother's Day, her walking out when I was two, not wanting to be a mom, our relationship wasn't great. I didn't have a confidant. Sometimes I would get jealous and see these women that I was friends with in high school where they could go and they could talk to their moms about anything, or their moms would take them on a lunch date, or their mom would be encouraging them to be their best selves. Like, I didn't have that from either of those women. And so fast forward to the conversation in Hoboken, and we're having this pretty in-depth conversation. And she says to me, you know, Mand, I should have never had you two. I should have never had you two. Wow. Holy shit. It was such a mic drop. Holy shit. Like, deep into my bones moment. I didn't know what to say in the moment except kind of fuck you. How can I stand here before you and respect anything you have to say to me as an adult or heretofore, when you just told me that one of your biggest regrets in life was my life and my sister's. So you can just imagine how I started to form female relationships and how I started to form the concepts of wanting to be a mom and what that would look like for me. I think in my mind's eye, had I been able to be a mom biologically, it would have looked the complete and utter diabolical, is that the right word I'm looking for? You know, the complete opposite of what these two women showed me and demonstrated throughout my life. So that's my first conversation with all of you about motherhood. I'm trying to understand what it truly means to me. It's certainly not the act of becoming a mother because you've pushed a child out of your body. It's something bigger and something more. And I firmly believe that Gaia, Mother Earth, is here trying to teach us all lessons and is here to hold each of us and our humanity and our uniqueness to share what we have with the world and what we're birthing and what we're mothering. And so I want to say right now that I honor all of you who have difficult relationships with your moms, biological or otherwise, who have difficult relationships with women in your lives, who have a difficult understanding of what motherhood is, and don't believe in this patriarchal nonsense of societal's expectations of what we should be and become and what motherhood means. I want to let you know that I honor all of you and I see your light. And I also know that this time can be difficult for some of you, including myself. And so with that, I want to let you know that for those of you who are listening, I love and see all of you and thank you for being part of my journey. And I also would like to invite you to share your voice around motherhood. If you go to our website at Period to Pause, there's a form you can fill out. You can share videos with us. You can share your stories, because we want to start shifting the narrative on motherhood. And so please, please come share your voice too. Thank you for listening today. As we say at Period to Pause, continue to go out there to educate, to rise, to vocalize, and mobilize. And I'll see you here next time. Take care. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to A Period to Pause podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, you can go ahead and skip that step. And remember to follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And go check us out on Instagram and Clubhouse. Oh, and don't forget to tell another woman in your life that you support her, and it only takes one tiny action to lead to big change. See you next time.
Now for a quick disclaimer. All of the information and views you hear on A Period to Pause podcast are purely the opinions of the host and her guest. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. The content of this podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified healthcare professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions you may have specific to your health, mental health, your sleep patterns, or changes to diet and exercise or any medical conditions.